our sixth Imam alayhi afdalu salatu was salam, Allahumma salli ala. He says in a tradition, he's reported to have said in a tradition, وَلَا تُطْلِعَ صَدِيقَكَ مِنْ سِرِّكَ إِلَّا عَلَى مَا لَوِ اتَّلَعَ عَلَيْهِ عَدُوَكَ لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ. He says that do not inform a sadiq, your friend. Yeah? Do not inform your friend all of your secrets, except for those which will not harm you if your enemy finds out about them. So do not reveal to your friends all of your secrets, because especially those secrets that if your enemy were to find out, it would harm you. Why? فَإِنَّ الصَّدِيقَ قَدْ يَكُونَ عَدُوَّكَ يَوْمًا. Because your friend could turn into your enemy one day. Right? Now this is what's interesting, is that when it comes to our friends, we are told don't reveal everything. So what about people that we are hypocrites? Yeah? Like, we have to be cautious. Like, you can't just talk about everything. Like, sometimes we have an idea. Man, look to see who's around you. Yeah? Look to see who's there in your presence. Right? Like, not everything needs to be said out loud. Not everything needs to be talked about. And the nature of a hypocrite will be is that they will try to be chummy, friendly with you. And so, we just have to be more cautious. And furthermore, like, if I know someone has a sickness, my job is to not exasperate that sickness. It's not to enhance that sickness, right? It's like, for example, like if you tell me you have a peanut allergy, I'm not going to come with the Snickers around you, right? Like, because I was like, this poor guy's got a peanut allergy. I should be careful, right? If we know someone has an illness, it's our job not to enhance that illness, right? So again, our sixth Imam has a tradition and said, if you want your brother's love for you to be pure, do not make fun of them. Do not dispute with them. Do not exchange bragging with them. And do not vie with him for evil, with evil acts. Like, compete with another. So, if you know someone has an illness, like, if they start arguing, walk away. Not worth it. Right? Because all you're going to do is you're going to put fuel to that fire that could eventually come back and burn you. Right? So, the first responsibility we have is to be cautious. We have to act smarter, be careful. And the second responsibility we have is, it's a personal responsibility where I have to ensure that I am not hypocritical, right? Like at the end of the day, I can't control the behavior of other people. I can't. Like as much as I'd want to control how other people think and act, it's not going to happen. But man, I can control how I think and act. You know, I can't be a hypocrite just because there may be hypocrites around me. I can't be a hypocrite, right? Like, I'm worried about my qabr, my grave, my accounting, my hisab with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so, I can't be a person who has this duality nature, dual tongue, dual face. And this is where the primary act with that, you know, it comes by being consistent in our faith and behavior. Like, how I can control my hypocrisy with action with people is by controlling my actions with God. Like, I cannot have a duality when it comes to my faith and behavior. Like, I say to God, I love you, but I don't really do the things God wants. I say to God, I'm praying, but my heart is lazy and I don't really care about what God wants, right? These things bring about a duality. And when duality just comes in any way, it will become a duality even with my actions with people. So this is where we have reached, inshallah. And we're talking about the different forms. As I said, in the next lecture will be an interactive session where we're going to see what we remember and look at the characteristics of hypocrites. And then the seventh lecture, we're going to look at the effects of hypocrisy. And the last lecture, we're going to look at how to cure hypocrisy. And inshallah, this will be a complete package that can assist us in all facets of our lives.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Ali Al-Hali A diverse range of programs, spirituality, Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. You are listening to some interesting facts about Islam. Muslims believe they are members of a worldwide Muslim community known as the Ummah, united by a religious bond that transcends tribal, ethnic, and national identities. The first mosque built in the U.S. was the Mother Mosque of America, which was built in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in 1934. It is still used for worship today. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. We start off this hour's program with To My Brother. The program examines the universal principles contained in the teachings of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and their importance for contemporary individuals and societies. Our varied radio productions feature will follow, and after that we have Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. And to round up this hour's programs, we have Dicky. The program presents short answers to doubts and ambiguities raised about various Islamic and Shiite topics. Stay with us for the next hour.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him.
Imam Ali
Imam Ali alayhi salam treated all human beings to be equal in the matter of rights and responsibilities, and he did not fix any limit in this behalf of equality among all human beings. And if he did fix any such limits, it was fixed keeping in mind the interests of the public in general, the people. And when we study the character of Imam Ali, we clearly see that he did not violate this freedom, the freedom of the people, the freedom of the public, the freedom in any of his laws, orders, rules, or regulations, and he always kept the public welfare in his view, in all his actions. He dealt equal treatment to both his friends and his foes.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام said, "No one can establish the rule of Allah, the Glorified, except he who shows no relenting in the matter of right, who does not behave like wrongdoers, and who does not run after objects of greed."
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what an honor to be speaking about the universal persona of His Eminence, the Commander of the Faithful, the Pillar of the Believers, Yasubuddin, the Pillar of Religion, Amirul Mu'mineen, the Commander of the Believers, Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. And truly, we learn so much from this beautiful persona of His Eminence, His sayings, His life, His manners, His behaviors. And as we have always said, He was truly the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was truly the best disciple, the most perfect student, the most perfect one to be able to emulate and manifest the teachings and the behaviors of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi to a perfection. And of course, this is why not only was he divinely appointed, but logically it also makes sense that he was to be the successor to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. There's many different aspects of the personality and the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. One thing that really stands out is how His Eminence Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first divinely appointed Imam, peace and blessings upon him, he would praise the Almighty Allah under any condition. And what's interesting is that this is one of the teachings that Imam Ali alayhi salam has put forth for the believers, for the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And so this is something that is quite profound. You know, we might have heard this statement before, we might have spoken about this quality of praising the Almighty Allah under any condition, but this is something that is quite profound. It is something that can really change our lives and make it more positive, more spiritual as well, you know. When our times are, when the times are down, when the chips are down, when we're feeling low, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to maybe complain or to become sad, to become depressed, to have anxiety, And this is not what, you know, we should allow ourselves to fall into. You know, even in the, when the chips are down, when we're feeling low, when we're feeling sad, when we're feeling lost, when we feel like we have lost, not only are we lost, in these times we should find ways to praise the Almighty Allah. It'll give us a lot of motivation. It'll give us this spiritual strength. It'll give us spiritual energy. And it'll bring about this, you know, positive energy, this very good light from within us, which will help us to heal. You know, it'll take away the sadness and the depression and the anxiety when one praises the Almighty Allah, you know, when they're feeling low. And of course, on the other side of the coin is when everything is going your way, you know, when you're incredibly happy, when everything is perfect. In this situation, one must also praise the Almighty Allah. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, and he manifested in his behaviors to always praise the Almighty Allah. When he was struck by the sword in the mihrab, in the prayer niche, in the Masjid of Kufa, he praised the Almighty Allah. When he was on the battlefield and he was winning the battle and he was defeating the great champions of the enemies, he was praising the Almighty Allah. When you know, he was feeding the poor and helping the widows, he was praising the Almighty Allah. When oppression was being committed against him, he was praising the Almighty Allah. So indeed a beautiful lesson to praise the Almighty Allah under all conditions, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين بحق
محمد. O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
Is it possible, first and foremost, that the Messenger of Allah can leave without appointing? And assuming he could leave without appointing, and assuming he did, for argument's sake, did he give us a criterion or a set of criteria to choose, such that when we choose this pathway, this is the right way to choose, and this is the wrong way to choose? We don't have any such thing. Do we have any hadith that the messenger say that when you do choose your caliph, this is the thing that you need to do? None. We don't have anything. So are we left to manufacture? I, as a Muslim, when I question this, I said, if I take that position, it's going to poison everything I believe in, and I might as well throw everything out, because then it's just a matter of following religion because I inherited it. And Allah says, no, no. Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. When they are told, why don't you follow that which Allah revealed? They said, no, we follow what our fathers believe. Is it not the same? So here you find that the Prophet raises his hand in Ghadir, thousands of people. He says, whoever I am the master of, مَنْ كُنْتُمْ مَوْلَى فَهَذَا عَلِيٌ مَوْلَى. Whoever I am a master of, this Ali is his master. Then the Prophet raises his hand and says, Allahumma wali man wala, befriend the one who befriends him. Wa'adi man adam, and be an enemy of the one who's an enemy. What is the Prophet saying? Oh Allah, be a friend. Is the Prophet dictating the morals? He is showing that Imam Ali alayhi salam is in line with the will of God. For if you become an enemy of Imam Ali, you've become an enemy of God. Just like the Prophet said, Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayhi is the same. When you dislike her, you dislike God. When you hurt her, you hurt God. Why has the Prophet established these kinds of relative frames? Because at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, ask this question over and over and over and over. What's the purpose in life? To obey Allah. What is the purpose in life? To submit to Allah. How do I submit to Allah if I don't have templates and role models? So Allah has established perfect templates and role models. That you go against them, you have gone against Allah. So Allah in reality has simplified my religion so much more by saying, just observe who they are, follow, and they will guide you.
For listening to this episode of the program To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Whatever I will be, I don't need to be what you need me to be. Yeah. Thank God for what He's done for me. You give me so much light, and you make me feel invincible.
Allah's love has no limits. Allah's love has no boundaries. For every raindrop that falls, for every ray of sunshine, for everything is under His control. You cannot see Allah, you cannot touch Allah, but you can feel Allah. He is there in every tear that falls, in every smile that shows. Allah is all around us. I am whatever I may be, but Allah has already planned my destiny.
Long ago, Iranians used to wake up to the melodic sound of one of the iconic masters of classical Persian music, Hasan Kasai's song, Salam, or Greetings. The renowned ney player who found the hidden potentials of the traditional Persian ney. In a way, you can say that all the reed flute players in Iran, directly or indirectly, are his pupils. Since ancient times, the ney or reed flute has been favored for producing rhythmic sounds. Made from a plant that can be found all across the world, the ney or reed. By studying the illustrations on the walls of the tombs in Egypt and ancient Greece, and according to the findings in Peru, this end-blown musical instrument can be dated back to at least 3,000 years ago. Considered as the forefather of the modern flute, the ney has always been known for its rich and sad sound. Neys can have different sounds depending on the location of the reed bed and the weather of the region in which the reeds grow, which in turn determine the length and thickness of the reed stems. In Iran, we have many musical instruments with different structures that are made using reeds. All of these wind-blown instruments have experienced many changes over the years, both in structure and finger placement. The most important reed flute in Iran is Neyehaft Band, or the seven-segment ney. Because of the depth of its sound, the ney has always been favored by Sufis and mystic artists, and has been depicted in many illustrations, such as the wall paintings at the famous 40-column pavilion in Isfahan. In Persian poetry, renowned poets such as Rumi and Hafiz have mentioned the ney countless times in their poems. A typical Persian ney has seven segments, six knots and six holes, one of which is on the back. The pitch of the ney varies depending on the finger arrangement. A highly skilled flute player can reach more than three octaves, but it's common to have several additional reed flutes to cover different pitch ranges or for playing technically difficult passages. The upper edge of the ney is placed inside the mouth between the two upper front teeth. By making use of a new finger placement chart, which was created by Master Hasan Nahid, playing the reed flute became much easier. Master Nahid has spent the better part of his life, more than 50 years, training young and enthusiastic pupils in the art of the ney, and has produced many outstanding players. Players such as Mohsen Roustan. There are many ways to play the ney. For example, in one technique, a small stream of air is directed with the tongue over the entrance of the ney, while the upper lip surrounds the upper part of the ney. By moving the lip and tongue, you can change the pitch and the tone. Like learning a new language, you have to know how to hold the ney, or the correct forms of finger placements. You also have to train your diaphragm so that you don't run out of breath. After all, the ney is a wind instrument. And now we continue. Even though both timbre and loudness have an infinite variety, in a sense, the ney didn't used to have a part in orchestras because of the restrictions of its range. All that changed in 1950 when Master Kasai fully revolutionized playing the ney and gave it a prominent role. The instruments that complement the sound of the ney in duet and group performances are string, percussion, and classical instruments. You can't make a really good ney out of just any reed. The best ones used to make this musical instrument come from the reed beds found in the dry and desert regions around the cities of Kashan, Qom, and Isfahan. Once they're cut, they're left to dry for 2 whole years in a shadowed area. Then they're sun-dried for 1 whole summer. That is when they can be worked. Making a ney also requires a lot of hands-on experience, from heating its uneven notes to coating it with a mixture made from toasted ground hulled sesame seeds, to making the holes, bandaging its knots with deerskin and wood glue, and finally decorating the piece. A ney maker needs to know all the techniques and timings. Like we said, the ney has been mentioned extensively in the old poetry of Iran. So it's not surprising that here it is that very same poetry that's been burned onto this piece of reed and has been used to decorate this beautiful ney. How can we talk about the Persian ney without naming Naib Asadullah, the first master in Iran who was well-versed in playing the Persian ney? According to Master Asadullah, I was the one who took the reed flute from the sheep's pen to the king's court. When God created man, he blew a part of his spirit into the clay, the breath of life. Our spirit longs to be reunited with its origin, longs to be whole again. Perhaps in his most famous poem, Rumi says that the sound of the ney calling out to the reed bed is reminiscent of that longing. This is Gulnar Farnoodi for Iran.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atal, the host of this program. We have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom.
My name is Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Brother Muhammad, okay, Brother Muhammad. Yeah. How can I call you? Okay. Brother Muhammad and Shaykh Ahmad Dani. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to show.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for inviting.
Well, today's discussion, we want to talk about who is a Shaheed and what is the concept of Shahada. I mean, what is the status of Shaheed? We have so many people all across the world during the history of war who defended their lands because of nationalistic, ideologic reasons. So what would be the difference between a person who is killed in defense of his own land with a Muslim who is killed and is called a Shaheed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it only the belief system, I mean, at work here or
right.
not?
So as Brother Muhammad has referred again to the fact that certain ulama, because they were so engrossed in their quest for education and
yes.
knowledge, they reached the same status as a Shaheed. So we have a whole group of ahadith that allude to the same topic. And they say that certain people are given the status of a Shaheed. For example, somebody who was a breadwinner.
Yeah.
He would be, and he dies trying to bring rizq-e halal,
yes.
halal sustenance
his
for his family, has a certain status in front of the Lord.
Okay.
So in this group of ahadith, we have a hadith that specifically touches on this topic. It says that from Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qutila duna mazlimatihi fahuwa shaheed. That is, somebody who tries to drive away a wrong that is done on that person, and he dies fighting in that cause. That is one of the things that can be said here, is that somebody has attacked your house.
That's right.
Right? And you want to drive away that, for example, thief or the robber,
right.
and you die in the process.
Okay.
You are trying to avoid that person who was invading your house,
yes.
and you die in the process.
Okay.
You are fighting that person.
Okay.
Or, for example, somebody invaded your country,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to drive them out because you have a right to...
Especially the Muslim lands, isn't it?
Yes, especially
okay.
the when the Muslim lands are concerned, it becomes
okay.
a not only a fariza,
yes.
That is a national
okay.
obligation, it also becomes a religious obligation.
Okay.
And so... we can say that for the Muslim lands, somebody dies fighting
yes.
The kuffar, the unbelievers, or whoever invaded that land, they have the same status as
mm-hmm.
the status
okay.
of a martyr.
So can we say that Shaheed and Shahada has levels?
Yes,
I mean, has
course.
Degrees. Of, okay, for example, some lower degrees, some upper degrees.
Yes, of course.
At the end of the day, both of them die, okay? And both
yeah.
of them are called Shaheed.
Mm-hmm.
But does it have any degrees?
You see, when it comes to the degrees of Shahada, it's not we who define it. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
yeah.
who defines it. Even among the prophets, we have different levels of prophets. We have the prophets who are ulul azm, and then we have prophets with a lower status.
Yes.
Not to say that their status, when we say they have a lower status, means that they are less valuable. No, they fulfill their responsibilities. But the level of Shahada depends on for what reason you're going out for, to become a Shaheed.
All right.
Of course, a person who is being killed, like Sheikh mentioned, in defending his family, in bringing bread for the family, then that person is also Shaheed. But the person,
all
can
right.
you compare this the Shahada of this
all
person
right.
to a person who dies when defending an entire nation,
mm-hmm.
entire people?
All right.
Now, this is a different story.
That's right.
It's a different level of Shahada. And the highest level of all the Shuhada, the highest level of the Shaheed, the highest status of the Shahada is the Shahada of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Say the Shuhada, that's right.
And that's why many of the we have specific ahkam for the haram of Imam Hussein alayhi
yes.
salam. Even under the qubba of Imam Hussein,
yeah.
your salah is what?
Complete.
You can
right.
pray your salah. Even when you're a traveler, you can
yes.
pray complete. Because that place where he was killed
yeah.
is
طِبْتُمْ
وَطَابَتِ الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي فِيهَا دُفِنْتُمْ. You have been purified, and also the earth in which you have been...
your blood was shed.
Exactly. No,
yeah.
the earth in which you have been buried
yes,
was
buried.
Purified.
That's right.
طَابَتِ الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي فِيهَا دُفِنْتُمْ.
Okay.
And so therefore, the highest level, Sayyidu Shuhada, is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So therefore, the shaheed, the shahada of Imam Hussein, of course, is different from the ones that me and you might go through, inshallah, ultimately at the end of our life. But these differences, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to judge this, and He is the one who will provide the deserving reward for the shahada, inshallah.
So many lessons to be taken from the life of shahada. But Shaykh Danish, can I ask you a question? And that is, who is your favorite shaheed? I mean, do you have any shaheed in your mind who you take lessons from his life? Or you have always, for example, recalls his memories in your life or something like that?
It's a difficult question, yeah. And because all the shuhada and all the martyrs have some specific quality that they inspire you with.
Very good.
Right? And so, of course, Imam Hussein, when you ask this question, you don't mean
he's the epitome of Shaheed. But now, may I mind
the followers of example, we have Shaheed Soleimani, who not only endeavored his entire life and did jihad his entire life, because he was a living Shaheed, as in the words of the Rehber as well.
Yes.
May God's mercy be upon him. And then we have Sayyid Hassan, who was an alim, who was leading a whole country with his speeches. They were so emotional, mashallah. And he was an inspiration to a generation.
Yeah.
And you have no comparison in recent times, if we look with these sort of personalities. Yes. And mashallah, we should say that Inqilab, the revolution, has produced so many great personalities. And
so this is a concept that is going to be as fresh as possible day by day passes. Yeah. And this is what the enemy does not understand, okay?
Yeah.
That these, for example, that so many people killed or assassinated before Shaheed Soleimani and Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, okay, they were replaced, they become Shaheed, and now this way goes on, okay?
Yeah.
On and on. It's unstoppable. The system, I think, is not going to be changed, because inshallah, sacrificing your blood for your cause, especially if it is Islamic, the Shia one, is not unstoppable. Okay, Brother Muhammad, what about you? Who's your favorite Shaheed?
Like the Sheikh mentioned, we really can't pick the Shuhada. All of them, they have their unique points, and alhamdulillah, all of them, they have given us a lesson for us, a legacy for us to carry on from and to bear on our shoulders. But I think in the more recent times, even after Shaheed Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, we have the Shahada of Yahya Sinwar from the Palestinian resistance. Mm. And I think one of the more we progress in terms of time, the more we understand this man's jihad, this man's mujahida, this man's struggle in the path. I can remember recently I saw the news that he, when they did the tests after with his body, autopsy. When they did the autopsy, they found out that he was hungry for the past 72 hours. Now this shows that the shuhada, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them a lofty place in Jannah, they are ready to leave everything in this world, the sweetest of the things in this world, and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they resisted. He resisted a heroic resistance, something that has been left in the legacy of the Palestinians. We see the videos that were made after him. One of the biggest mistakes of the Zionist regime was to publish the way he was martyred.
Yeah,
and now every single Palestinian...
Because they don't understand.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't understand.
They think killing him will aspire fear among the Palestinians. Okay. Rather, it gave them courage, more bravery.
That's right.
They came out more stronger in resisting them.
And making a heroic, you know, that's right, picture out of these people. They don't understand it, unfortunately. Alhamdulillah, that our enemies are from the most foolish ones.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay. This is what Yazid did to Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam. He saw that he is victorious. He was victorious on that time.
Yeah.
But he didn't know that the blood of Hussein is going to work for more than 1,000 of years, man. Come on.
Yeah.
How a blood is going to work?
We say in Ziyarat Ashura, يَوْمٌ فَرَحَتْ بِهِ آلُ زِيَادٍ وَآلُ مَرْوَانٍ بِقَتْلِهِمُ الْحُسَيْنِ
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, they got very happy and they were victorious.
Okay. Are there any actions to make us as close as possible to the status of Shahada? Are there any actions, brother?
Inshallah, may God grant all of us Shahada in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's a hadith regarding the same topic, that sawabu talab al-shahada, right? And the hadith goes on from Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says that man sa'al Allah al-shahada bi-sidqin, ballagahu Allahu manazil al-shuhada wa in mata ala firash, right? Even if a person is dying on his bed and dies the death of an ordinary person, right. But his life was like that he desired this martyrdom in the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bisitqin,
by the pure intention,
in the true sense.
The condition is that right. You should really,
your niya must be,
niya should be pure, not just laklaka zabani we say in
it's
Farsi.
It's not the words, that's right.
Yeah, that only it's
the mere words,
your tongue, mere words, right. And you're saying something only with your tongue, but don't mean it in your heart. Okay. So that person is going to get the status of shuhada. And then again, we have this hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam as well, that a companion came to him after the battle of Siffin.
Yes.
And he said that one of my relatives or my brother really desired to be with you during the battle.
All right.
And Imam Ali alayhi salam asked him, did he really intend to be a part of the battle? And Imam Ali was told that yes, he sincerely meant it. And so Imam says to him that he got the ajr of those who had fought in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really and with a pure heart intend to be in the battles of the Aimma, for example, yes. This is the same thing that is narrated for Karbala as well,
yes.
And on the day of Ashura, yes. As well.
Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum.
Yeah, and we are told to pray again for this as well.
All right.
So we are considered in the party of
shuhada.
The shuhada, the That's party right. of Allah, the party of the Anbiya and the okay. Salihin. Inshallah.
May Allah help us, inshallah, be among them. May Allah help us to have the chance of experiencing the Imam of Imam As, the reappearance of Imam As, inshallah. There are so many people that still to be martyred on his way, okay, when he reappears. So that is still, there are so many opportunities awaiting you and for the true awaiters, inshallah. And those who are loving, in fact, die a natural death in the true love of their Imam of the age, Imam As, Ajalallah, I think their rewards must not be lesser than, we can say, those type of shuhada. But inshallah, Allah gives us the chance to take lessons from the lives of the shuhada. And we said these shuhada have different levels. For instance, the Iraqi imposed war on Iran for 8 years, and we had so many of the shuhada. Just go to their martyrdom accounts, okay? When you take a look at them, to their last will and testament, you cannot believe that how a 13-year-old boy is going to write down a testament, a last will and testament. I think working more than 4 years of BA at the university or something like that, in terms of knowing the world, epistemology, cosmology, knowing your Imam of the time. Come on, man. This is just a piece of paper. That's really fantastic. And these are available. Alhamdulillah, they have been translated into English language too. The martyrdom accounts of the shuhada. And the shuhada of Muqawama, this is another category. Those people who have left their lands, you know, in the Western world, coming to, I could remember this shahida, Rachel Curry, I think. She was martyred, you know. She was killed in Palestine. Come on, she was not even a Muslim, okay? But she is considered a shahida, isn't it?
Yeah,
sacrificing her life for the people of Gaza and so many other people. May Allah bless the soul of all these shuhada.
Inshallah.
And may Allah help us to be the true followers of this shuhada, inshallah. Thank you very much, Brother Muhammad,
Sheikh
Ahmad Danish, for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much to your listeners for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. For more information, please visit our new website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You are listening to the program The Key on Iran Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a very important question, and that question is related to a theme that has recurringly been mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, as well as the Hadith. Of course, I am speaking of the remembrance of God Almighty. In one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following: O you who have faith, do not let your possessions and your children distract you from the remembrance of God. And whoever does that, it is they who are the losers. In this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, God Almighty, He emphasizes the importance of His remembrance and remembering Him. And He equates the forgetfulness of God with loss, and consequently the remembrance of God as success and felicity. Also, in one prophetic hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported as having said this: never prefer anything above the remembrance of God, for verily, he says, and the remembrance of God is surely greater. In this hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said that the remembrance of God is superior to every other thing in this world, and therefore it should not be nothing else above should be chosen above it and instead of it. Now, the question we want to pose today with respect to this theme and this topic is, why is the remembrance of God so great? Or, in other words, what are the outcomes and results of the remembrance of God? In order to answer this question, we can take inspiration from the hadiths which have been mentioned and passed down to us regarding this topic. In one beautiful hadith, it's been narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Continuous remembrance of God enlightens the heart and the mind." Of course, this is a hadith about the continuance and perpetuity of the remembrance of God, you know, constantly remembering God. But nevertheless, it does allude to one of its benefits, and that is that when we remember God much, it illuminates our mind. It gives clarity to our mind. We begin to think properly. We begin to examine situations and circumstances better. You know, it leads to the clarity of the intellect. It leads to the clarity of the intellect. This is one of the results of the remembrance of God. In another beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, and this is he mentioned this in a supplication, in a dua that he made. O he whose name is a remedy and whose remembrance is a healing. In this dua, in this prayer, Imam Ali alludes to the fact that remembrance of God, it heals the heart.